It was on this date in history, 3 days after Passover, in approximately 33 AD, we believe that Jesus rose from the grave. The Easter story has been told now for 1,989 years. That, my friends, is a lot of Easter celebrations. I think Bob was alive for 1,980. No. Bob is always gracious. He says, anytime you need to pick on somebody, I'll take it. Thank you, Bob. But that is a lot of Easter sermons over the years, isn't it? And after 1,989 years, you have to begin to wonder, how many different ways can you present the same story year after year? The average stint of a pastor with one church in the United Methodist Church is about 7 years. I wonder if it's 7 years because after that you can't help but start to repeat yourself as a pastor, maybe even a second or third time. I plan on being a pastor for as long as God will allow me, and I can't imagine what it'll be like after 20, 30, or maybe even 40 years of sharing the Easter message. Now, there are a lot of stories within the story. There are subtle differences between the Gospels. There are many different angles and a lot of different people that you can focus on over the Easter story. There's Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, John, Peter, doubting Thomas, the travelers on the road to Emmaus. We can focus on the empty tomb. We can focus on his appearances to the different people. We can focus on the teachings that followed it, the Great Commission, and of course his ascension. For some of you, it has become the same old message. And now after that hearty breakfast, the food coma is starting to take over. And some of you are just waiting for the blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we get it. The tomb is empty. Can we sing our final hymn and go home and take a nap? The reality is that after 1,989 years, the message has not changed. The message isn't supposed to change. The message is supposed to change you. Do you get that? Are you awake? The message hasn't changed. The question is, have you changed because of the message? Jesus says that he came to seek and save the lost. Jesus says that we must be born again, that we should drink of the living water that he provides and never thirst again, that we should partake of the bread of life and never hunger again. Peter and the other disciples were changed and transformed through the resurrection and the power of the Holy Spirit. James, the brother of Jesus, was once a denier. He was changed and transformed by the resurrection through the power of the Holy Spirit. The apostle Paul was changed and transformed by the resurrection through the power of the Holy Spirit. And these men all wrote in their epistles how a life in Christ should change us. And one example comes from 1 Peter chapter 4. And listen to these words and ask yourself, have you been changed? Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. There's a little check mark for me. I need to work on that one. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do as one who speaks the very words of God. Uh-oh, it's another check mark for me. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. When the message changes us, when we are born again, we are called to live a different kind of life. We are called to love with a different kind of love. We are called to serve with the gifts and the calling he has given us. We cannot change the world if we ourselves have not been changed. Do you get that? If we're not changed, how do we go and change the world? Step one, salvation is the easy part. We have to come to the realization that we have sinned and that we cannot have eternal life without Jesus Christ. That's it. We cannot have eternal life without Jesus Christ. And coming to faith in Jesus Christ is the easy part. Repenting, believing, and having faith. But step two is the hard part. Living it. Jesus told us that trials and hardships would come. Peter and Paul write about the hardships that would come. But here is the part of the deal. See, we don't have to do it on our own. Because that's when we get in trouble, when we try to do it on our own. Now, we have to do our part. We have to cooperate with God. But you see, we're given the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does the work of change. And the Holy Spirit can and will change us if we let it. But we have to let it. See, Jesus Christ broke the chains. There's no more chains around us. We do not have to sin. We are not bound to it anymore. But so many of us cling on to our chains. We like our sin. We like our lies. And we like our control. See, change is a choice. Change is a choice that requires us to surrender who we are. It requires us to say, "Thy will be done." Know that little phrase we pray every week? Thy will be done. Not what I want. It's not what I think is right. It's not what I think is fair. It's not the way I think the world should be. It's the way God says the world should be. It's the way Christ taught us to live. You see, Satan loves to tell us that we don't need God. We love to tell ourselves that we don't need God. I got this. I'm going to do it. And some of us go head forth through life and bull our way all the way through. But doing it our way is not going to get us into heaven. The truth is that we need a Savior. The truth is we need the Holy Lamb of God. Because we could never make ourselves good enough. All of the good stuff we did this morning is not good enough for God. We are blemished. We are sinful. We need the Holy Lamb of God to be our substitute. And not only do we need the Lamb that is sacrificed, we need a Savior who conquers death. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth. He is the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. When we see the love that God poured out on us through the cross, when we see that Jesus gave his life willingly, when we see that he defeated Satan, that he defeated sin, that he defeated death, when we see the victory of Jesus walking out of the tomb, it should change us forever. And the story of Easter will always be a story until that story changes you. And when you let that story change you, you will never be the same again. This life is so much more than we touch. This life is so much more than we can see. There's a whole spiritual realm of God that surrounds us that we can't see or experience until we have this change. And we allow the Holy Spirit to come in us. And it's sad to think that it is more than most of us have experienced. Because to so many people, it is still just a story. But you see, our God, the creator of the universe, wants to be our God. And he wants us all to be his children. All of us. He wants all of us to be his children. And because that lamb was slain on the cross, and because our Savior walked out of the tomb, we have victory over death. 1 Peter 1 says, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart." So that's something we need today. To love one another deeply from the heart. Could you imagine what people will see if we loved like that every day? They came to visit our church and they said, "Wow, those people love each other." Verse 23, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God." Folks, we're temporary citizens of this earth. Each of us has a marked day. But through our faith in Jesus Christ, we will live forever. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, we become his children. We become citizens of his kingdom. Some of you have a passport that says citizens of the United States, right? But that should be crossed out and say, "I'm a citizen of God. I don't belong in this world." Yes, every day we have here needs to be wonderful and joyful and servitude for God every day that we have. But we should not fear death. We should say, "That's my day. That's my day to see God." In verse 24, Peter reminds us of the words of the prophets. "For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you." Jesus was born. He lived, he died, and he rose again. All of this is God's love for us, that we could be saved from our sins and have eternal life. It's the same old message. Are you the same old you? Or has the message transformed you? The word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Let us pray. Great Creator, Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit. We come to you in prayer of thanksgiving. We come to you in a moment to ask for you to work hard inside of us, to help us let go of whatever we're holding on to, so that we may give ourselves completely to you. Lord, I know that you will do amazing and great things when we, as your church, let go. When we, as a church, let you have control. Lord, it is only through you that we can be transformed. It is only through you that we can have revival. And it is only through you and your power that we can transform this community. Lord, we know that you have been at work in many people, and we have seen evidence and fruits of the work going on in our church. Lord, let it never stop. Let change never stop happening. Lord, let us grow to continue to be the church that you have called us to be. Lord, for those who have not really ever heard this message, for those who do not know this story, may this become the story that changes their lives. Plant the seeds and water them so that their faith may grow in you, so that they may come to the knowledge that Jesus Christ is the Savior that they need, that they may confess their sins and turn their life to you. And Lord, for those of us who have been around and around and around, let it never be the same old message. Renew us, restore us, and let us live for you. Lord, this is our prayer. We pray this through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to try something here. I'm going to say he lives, and if you believe it, you yell back, he lives. You ready? He lives!
He lives!
Oh, come on. This is Easter! He lives!
He lives!
He lives!
He lives!
Now, isn't that joyful? Isn't that joyful?
Amen.
That is the joy that will transform this world. If you look around and you see the darkness, that is the joy that will bring light to that darkness. That is the joy that will transform lives. You want to make a difference? Follow Jesus. Believe that he lives. Walk with him, talk with him, and live with him every day. People, this is the day of rejoicing. This is the pinnacle of our Christian life, that Jesus Christ walked out of that tomb, that he lives, he breathes, and he is with the Father, and he has promised to come back again. He is preparing a place for us. There will be a new kingdom. There will be a new heaven. There will be a new earth. There will be no more tears, no more sorrows, and no more death. We will stand in the glorious presence of God. There will be no sun because God's beautiful light will be upon us. Is that not a joyful thought? Let that message dwell in your hearts. Let that message change who you are, so that through that joy you can go and help change the people around you. Let us go now and be a people of great joy because he lives. Leave here now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of his Holy Spirit. Amen.